Here we go. We're going to look this morning at, here's the question. The notes are not online. They're done, but they're not online. Sorry about that. The title of this thing this morning is what we should be able to see today. See, S-E-E. And, you know, you talk to people about stuff, and it's amazing that they just don't see what you're saying. And we're not looking to signs. This is 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign. We know the sign isn't what we're looking at here. We're not talking about signs. If there were signs that we had to follow, you can bet that we'd be thinking we're getting close to the tribulation. Look at the disasters that are happening. There's a second volcano ready to blow ice and bigger than the first one. Can you imagine what that one would do? Have two of them floating around. The Gulf thing, as soon as the hurricanes come and blow that oily water on all of America down in the south, that's terrible. Look at the health plan. It's got the national police to enforce the health, the chip being in place, which is in the health plan. The chip is in the health plan. And, what are some other things? I don't know. It's just terrible what's happening in our country. Oh, they're passing laws without reading the law first, and they're against laws that are made in states that they still don't read the laws. And even yet at that, you've got people that don't read the Bible, and they criticize the Bible. So it's the same kind of a thing. So we're not looking to what we're seeing physically or visually. In fact, you look at Matthew 24:30, the next sign that actually is coming, it says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Yeah, the next sign is His coming. That's the next thing they'll see. So, why is it we have such a hard time getting people to see what we're saying here? And, you know, we go to Romans 11:25. We know that Israel's blinded. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. So we know that people don't want to get into the Jewish thing. There's going to be no truth involved there. We go to 2 Corinthians 3:14. It says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So why don't they see the risen Savior? They're still caught behind the veil. They're still looking at the Old Testament design. Look at the churches. They're designed, their temples. They're designed in the Old Testament way. Look at the teachings. They're Old Testament gospel. Gospel is the Old Testament law. Jesus fulfilled it. So if we have to follow, people think that we need to imitate and follow Jesus in the Gospels, then we're following Old Testament law. It's an amazing thing. But that's an Old Testament design to deal. People in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan's blinded the minds of them which believe not. So they're lost people. And I do believe that the first three, the Jewish followers, the Old Testament followers, and those that are just lost by the blindness of Satan, but all three sections are blind. Then what about the Christians? If they really are a Christian, if they truly are a Christian, and they don't understand what's going on in that Bible, Ephesians 4:18 tells us their understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God. Not that they're apart from Him, they just don't get what it is He would have them live. And it says, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Does that keep them from getting saved? I tend to think it could, but they're not reading the King James Bible, rightly divided. That's what that's all about, Ephesians 4:17-21. Those are in the notes. So, you know, and I was thinking as I was thinking about this, what we're going to see here this morning, is we can't go to 2 Peter 1:9, we can't go to 1 John 2:11, we can't go to Revelation 3:17. Talks about blindness. It's a different kind of blindness. That's during the tribulation. And if you read the context of those verses, it has nothing to do with us today. 2 Peter is talking about those that forgot that they're purged from their old sins. Well, if you forget that you're purged from the old sins in the tribulation, then yeah, verses 10-11 mean you've lost your salvation. If you go to 1 John 2:11 and you think that you hate your brother, then you're walking in darkness and you're blind again. How can that happen? You go to Revelation in the verses 18-20-27, talk that's not pertaining to us. And then Revelation 3:17 talks about the Laodicean church being so blinded. Miserable, wretched, poor, and blind, and naked. Well, we're sure getting that way, but we're not in the Laodicean church period yet. You look at verse 16-19 and look at chapter 2, verse 20 about the hour of the temptation that will be kept from. No, get into my notes if you want. You can't go to those verses for blindness, but you can look to Paul as far as what he says about blindness. Now, look at Acts 26:18. We'll get into the meat of this thing here in a minute. This is just some comments about being blinded. Paul in 26:18, that's his ministry, is to open our eyes. and to turn them from darkness to light. Okay, so when we're turned from darkness to light, we see something all of a sudden. And why is it that people don't see? Blind? Caught up in the Old Testament? Not reading their Bibles? No understanding? Sure. But that's Paul's ministry, is to open our eyes. So we believe that we have the risen Savior, and we've done it through Paul's gospel. Paul is our only apostle. So we can see some things, and we're trying to get people to see it. Well, let's not talk about the people that can't see. Let's not talk about the reasons why they can't see. Let's just look at ourselves this morning and see what it is that we have the opportunity to see today, right now today. What can we see? We know that Paul lays the foundation for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Acts 28, verse 26 talks about the Jewish people were blind. They couldn't hear. They were deaf. Their eyes were closed. They would understanding with their heart. They weren't, all that kind of stuff. Acts 28, 26. But see, we can see. Oh, but see, we can see. They can't even see the fact that they can't see. Anyway, so let's just jump right into the meat of this thing here this morning. What is it that we can see? Now, the word is manifested. Manifested. And the word manifest means plain, open, clearly visible to the eye. Or obvious to the understanding. Apparent, not obscure, or difficult to be seen or understood. So, there's verses that talk about what is manifested to us today. And if it's manifested to us, we have the opportunity today to see it. So, what has been manifested? And that's all you do. You just type in the word manifest on a concordance thing. Look at all the verses that have the word manifest. And, I mean, it's as simple as day to see what's been manifest to us. Now, that doesn't mean people see it. But it's there. For example, let's go to Romans. Let's go here to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Gave your Bibles, if you've got them there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Well, what do people have an opportunity to see? God manifest in the flesh. And we know that that's Jesus Christ. I won't get into all the detailed study, but that's Jesus Christ. So if a person is aware of Jesus Christ, then he's aware of God. And he can see God. Now, that does tell us the importance of the Gospels, doesn't it? So we're not of the Paul guys that say, just skip reading the Gospels. No, you read the Gospels, you learn about God. Because Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. So, yeah, how was it done? I have no idea how he did it. But we know it was done. And that's our faith. And so, when these people say that they believe and they put their trust in the completed work on the cross or the completed work of Jesus Christ, they're lying because they say, yeah, we believe that he's completed everything for us, but we need to keep ourselves clean so we can keep our salvation. Or the looser kind of say, we need to keep ourselves clean, but if we mess up, we lose our fellowship with God. Then his work wasn't completed. Then the sins can still affect our relationship with Christ, and that's not completed work of Christ on the cross then. So it's baloney. So, yeah, what can we see? We can see God manifest in the flesh. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. We know it's Christ because it says, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, there it is, form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Made himself with no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So God came down into the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. So we can see God. We have the opportunity to see God. Why don't people see God? They haven't gone through Paul. Philippians chapter 2, also verse 10-11, says that Christ was worshipped. If Christ wasn't God, Christ shouldn't have been worshipped. And then if you wanted to do another separate bunny trail study, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says, I think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So God fulfilled his own law. He's the only one that could do it. It's like, you know, you always respect these people supposedly at work who are your bosses, but they've done what it is that they're asking you to do. That's fine. God has done what he's asked us to do. Well, we couldn't do it. So God went ahead and did it for us and gave it to us, his righteousness to us, if we would put our faith in his only begotten Son, which is putting our faith in God through Jesus Christ. So what do we see? We see God. If you want to go to Genesis 22, we see where he said to Abraham, or Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And that's where we see it doesn't say God will provide for himself. It says God will provide himself. Well, see, God provided himself. Exodus 12 is kind of interesting in verses 1 through 5. It talks about the need of a lamb, the lamb, and then your lamb. So there's some neat things in the Old Testament. So we don't discount the Old Testament. We tell people to read the Old Testament all the time. It's just that Old Testament wasn't written to us. It's written for us. So anyway, so what's the first thing that we can see? We have the opportunity, people have the opportunity to see today. God manifest in the flesh. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 3 for another one here. You would think that if God manifest in the flesh is shown in the Gospels, then we should turn to the Gospels for what we need to follow. No, that's not true. You've got to hang in there. Right to divide those scriptures, you find that we should follow Paul, not the teachings of Jesus in the Old Testament. Oh, anyway. Romans chapter 3. Here's the second thing that we have the opportunity to see today. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And that's the righteousness of God. Not only that, it says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now, we should be able to see that today. The righteousness of God without the law. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. What can we see? We can see the righteousness of God. People don't see that, do they? Well, why not? Well, they're blinded. They're part of the Old Testament. They follow the Old Testament. They're not reading their Bible. King James rightly divided. They don't see it. What do you need to see? But now the righteousness of God without the law, without the law, without the law. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, and for 3, 4 says that, how's that go? Romans chapter 10, verse 4. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So now we see God's righteousness without the law. That's been manifest to us. That's been presented to us. We should be able to see that. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my, that's Paul, my gospel. So Paul is teaching us the righteousness of God. And we can receive the righteousness of God. For his righteousness, it's not ours. Here we go, Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, not by works, not by the law. Talks about in Romans chapter 10 again, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. See, people, it's Israel. Back in his day, Israel was ignorant of God's righteousness. What's going on today? People are ignorant of God's righteousness. They think their righteousness is what saves them. Some people think that it's their righteousness that saves them. There are some people who say that they are saved and they're trusting in their righteousness to keep them saved. And then we've got these people that believe that follow their righteousness, keep their righteousness in order to stay close to Christ as far as fellowship. And it's not true. It's not his righteousness. The righteousness of God is what gets us saved, what keeps us saved, and what gives us the fellowship with him. Not up to us, it's up to him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the things that we do should be the righteousness of God. Should be the things that he would have us do. And his righteousness is imputed to us. If we do the right things, then those things are rewarded to us at the judgment seat of Christ. And if we don't, then they're burnt. Our salvation is based on his righteousness. The Bible talks about the fact that the scriptures are there for instruction in righteousness. Whose righteousness? His, not ours. Except now he's taken us away from our flesh, and so now our works have no more sin attached to them. But those things that we're doing, those are the things that the risen Savior told us that would please Christ, please God. Then we see in Galatians chapter 2:21, they do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So then why would the law, he says in Galatians also, why would we think that we started in the Spirit and then we go back to the flesh to keep our salvation? No, it's his righteousness. We can see the righteousness of God today. Then it says in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, There's the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ, but faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So our faith allows us to see the righteousness of God. Our faith allows us to see God, because he has manifested himself in the flesh. Okay, by the way, I'm going to try to get this thing done, but there's a really, really great one at the very end. So I'll say that for the last. We'll stick at number three here. This is a little more odd, but I think it's something we can learn from here. We can see, what can we see today? We can see the righteous judgment of God. Oh, we can. I thought in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, there is no judgment on the lost people. And we know that there's no judgment on the Christian because Christ took our sins, and judgment of our works will come with the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's true. But look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. This is pretty interesting stuff this morning. You know, people are always talking about that's the righteousness of God. God is mad at America. That's why we're having the oil spill. That's why we had the hurricane. God is mad at Europe and Asia. That's why they're having the what are they having over in Europe? All the Alaskan volcanoes and ash and all that stuff. And so how can that's not the judgment of God, but it does say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. What is this? Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God? What is the manifest token? Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I guess I better go there myself to help you find this thing. And we see in, look at verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations ye endure. Which is a manifest token. What is? The persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. That's the judgment of God? No, let's look a little bit more here. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. You'll see what we're talking about here, what he's talking about. Galatians 5, verse 10. If you're having some difficulty and some persecution, some troubles and stuff, is it the judgment of God? Well, let me show you something here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Okay, now look at verse 11 as well. Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. I usually write these verses in, but I didn't here. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? So what if Paul were to change his message? He would still suffer persecution. He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever shall. I'm sorry, verse 10, verse 7. This is the offense of the cross. Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. We see that we're going to suffer persecution. We know that. And we know that the judgment of God about sins and everything is not going to take place until the judgment seat of Christ, until the white zone for the lost person. And Paul does say, if I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. That's true. That's true. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we're seeing here is when we get persecuted, we get challenged. Somebody laughs at us or mocks us or life is hard because we're trying to follow the right way. Is it the judgment of God? Is it the righteous judgment of God? Well, he says it's manifest. It's manifest. Well, and it's a token of it. It's a token of it. The judgment of God will be horrible. The righteous judgment of God. Well, what takes place when somebody persecutes us? Nothing. Other than we're persecuted. We're laughed at. We're teased. You don't get on with life like you would like it to be, and it's frustrating. Or we get tired. All the stuff that takes place because we're trying to follow Paul. The goodness of God comes out in this thing. Because God is not persecuting it. God is not making the guy that's the person that's harassing you, he's not getting them, as we would put it. But when it takes place, they'll get nailed for it. The person that's giving you a hard time, it will show up in his judgment seat or his white throne judgment. They don't get away with it. So how can this be the righteous judgment of God? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, we're experiencing that, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, here we go, these persecutions today, these are our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, when we suffer this persecution, he calls that a manifest, we can see a token, a little bit, of the righteous judgment of God. Because what's going to take place someday is those people that are bugging us, or making life difficult, or challenging, or persecuting us, or you, or whatever, they will have their time in court. But right now, nothing's taking place. Is that making sense? This manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, we can see that. So when we're challenged, it's not that God is ignoring us. It's going to take place sometime. Those people making our life difficult, making our life miserable, making our life lonely or whatever, they'll pay for that someday. But in the meantime, and what does he say? He says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. In order for us to be somewhat worthy of that kingdom, we're going to have to suffer some persecution. That's the way this thing is going to be. So, we see God. We have the opportunity to see God. We have the opportunity to see the righteousness of God. And now we have the opportunity to see the righteous judgment of God. Not in hurricanes and volcanoes and economy collapses and stuff like that. Not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that when somebody bugs us, we're going to be bugged. We're going to be persecuted. But we're going to understand that that's for our benefit, for our glory. And it's just a token of the righteous judgment. The people that harass us, they'll get their judgment. And we will be rewarded even for the persecution. So if there's anything that I don't think I explained it very well, you read the thing in your notes, and you can see that this persecution that we're going under, if we're being persecuted, and I know some of you out there are having a hard time because you're trying to do right as a woman or as a man or whatever, and it does challenge us. It really does. But that's the righteous judgment of God that's being manifest. And it's just helping us be more worthy through His works, through His righteousness, of the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. Let's go on to number four, because I want to get to these other things. I got about 15, 20 minutes here. Number four. Here's something else that's been manifest to us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And this one we know very well. This is the one that people really have a hard time seeing. We all had a hard time seeing it. It took me 20-some years to finally see it after somebody planted that first initial seed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation, there it is, revealed to Paul, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, what's manifest to us? This mystery of Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1 for a backup verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, same thing, but now is made manifest to his saints. They can see it now. They don't want to see it. They're lost, or they're following Jewish teachings, or they're not reading the King James Bible, or they're caught up in the Old Testament kind of stuff. But it's there to be seen. Even the mystery, which is the mystery in Christ in Ephesians, hath been hid from ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. He says in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, so it's been revealed, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, not for the obedience of baptism, obedience of faith. So the mystery of Christ has been revealed, has been manifested to us. It's there for people to see. Then you go through these verses, Colossians 4, Colossians 1, 2 Corinthians 11, 6, Philippians chapter 1, 13. I mean, it's there, 2 Corinthians 5, 11, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 to 11, Titus chapter 1, verse 3. We see that this mystery has been revealed to us through Paul. And if you don't understand that yet, the notes will be there in about 20 minutes after we're done here this morning. It's through Paul to those people. And then today, that mystery has been revealed to us through a King James Bible. That which is perfect has come. It's done. It's complete. It's there. We don't need a Paul walking around. We don't need a prophet walking around. We don't need to study and follow the 12 apostles. We need to learn about the one apostle, Paul, who has taught us about the mystery of Christ, because now it's been made manifest. It's seeable. The only way you're going to see it is through Paul. The only way you're going to see Paul is through a King James Bible. The only way you're going to get the real risen Savior is through a King James Bible following Paul, because Paul's the one that lays the foundation. He lays Jesus Christ. Paul is not our foundation, but he's the one that lays it. And then Paul's the one we follow to build on that foundation. Now, here's some. Does that make sense? That's exciting stuff. What can we see today? We can see God. We can see the righteousness of God. We can see the righteous judgment of God. And we can see the mystery of Christ. We could stop there. That'd be a good way to stop this thing this morning. But there's some other things, too, I want you to see. And there's one really neat one at the end. Here we go. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Okay, what can we see in Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Well, that's exciting. We can see the works of the flesh. Everybody can see the works of the flesh. Yeah, but do they know that they're works of the flesh? Unless they know that they've been spiritually circumcised, they've been separated from the flesh, what's the works of the flesh to them? If I tell somebody that music is fleshy, they just go like, so? What's the problem with that? I like that. I like that music. I enjoy it. I have fun with my music. I have fun doing that. Well, we know that that's a work of the flesh. It's not the work of the Spirit, according to Paul's writings. So, When we get a hold of Paul, we get a hold of the risen Savior, we get a hold of a rightly divided Bible, suddenly we start recognizing and learning more and more that some of the stuff we're doing is of the flesh. Does that make sense? You try to tell somebody again back to the music thing, trying to get people to see the flesh aspect of music is like, you can't help but teach them about the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Those YouTube things about South Dakota. I'd love for guys to watch the South Dakota on YouTube, the Western life of South Dakota, the horses and the prairies, and see all this. It was just marvelous stuff. But the music is fleshy. And when music first came out to be fleshier than normal, when I was younger, and they had the offbeat and the rock beat and stuff like that, that was easier to explain. But we tried to explain it in a manner that we didn't try to explain Paul and the separation of our flesh and our spirit and our soul. So, what's manifest to us? The works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like. It pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? But see, we see that now. We know that when you do something, is it of the flesh or not? We can see the difference. He says in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. What's the light today? The Word, the King James Bible, rightly divided. It shows the things that are of the flesh or of the Spirit. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Never thought of it that way. So when we're trying to tell somebody that that's of the flesh, they have no clue what you're talking about. Because they just think that's their life. And unfortunately, that's half our battle, if not more so. You want to do something to have fun? That's of the flesh. It'll burn. You want to do something that will be enjoyable? That'll stick, because Christ gives us things to enjoy. But if it's fun, it's a flesh thing. I'm really big on that lately because there's so much fun floating around. Summertime is coming upon us here, and everybody else wants to get rid of their clothes and go swimming and play these games and do stupid stuff outside and be loud. You know what that is? That's all of the flesh. And we'll do things like that. But come on, if you want to be the Christian, you want to be the King James, rightly dividing, Paul following, modest, soft, manly, womanly, be the lady, be the gentleman, be the right kind of person, we need to fight that flesh. And if it gives us a bad testimony, or if it gives Christ a bad testimony, or if it gives you, even tears yours down because you've been trying to maintain such a testimony, our fight is the flesh. But see, we didn't know that till we got a hold of Paul and the risen Savior. Why? Because the works of the flesh are manifest. Okay, that's number five. That's even why, like kids, you know, young people like Adriana, you haven't even been through half the stuff that the adults have been through in the flesh. And so, do you need to go through life in the flesh so you know what it's like? No. We like to steer you from that stuff. But the flesh doesn't want you to. At your age, flesh is a lot stronger than the spirit. Unless you're really digging into that book and you really want to hear the preaching and you really want to change your lives and you really want to watch out what you wear, what you talk, how you behave, and look at the stuff that's written to the ladies, the men reading the stuff that's to the men, your flesh will win. I know there's not very many people out there, but that's okay. You stand strong. The reward is coming eventually. You might not have what you want down here. As sad as it is and frustrating as it is, because even if it's God's design, this is a pretty wicked world anymore. And the works of the flesh. Remember, the flesh is what the religion thing is all about. The flesh is what the Antichrist is going to have to attack and attract us. That's why Christ puts the Spirit of God upon the flesh in the tribulation. We're heading towards a hugely fleshly lifestyle. Everything is flesh. Lasciviousness, concupiscence, I mean, that's the way it's going to be in these days. It's just flesh everywhere. Okay, let's go to number six, which is, what's my good verse for this thing here? It's truth has been manifest to us. Here we go. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That doesn't seem like the right reference. I'll check it out here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's probably too much coming across the plate today, but I know some of you can't come back tonight, so I'm going to try to give it all to you this morning here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, yeah, that's right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Through Paul and a King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, we preach not ourselves, etc., etc., we see that truth has been manifested today. How? Through Paul. How? Through a King James Bible. How? Rightly divided. It works effectually in them that believe. What does? The Word of God. What's the Word of God? The King James Bible. It's been manifested to us today. And before that, Christ worked in the hearts of people, worked through preachers and prophets and things. So that's an obvious one, but how come people don't see the truth? Well, they don't acknowledge the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, I think it is, 26, that the King James Bible is the truth. It's the Word of God. They acknowledge that. See, during Paul's day, his word is manifested through preaching. What did Paul preach? Words. So what do we have today? Paul's words that he preached. So God's word has been manifested to us. We can see it. It's there for people to see. And they don't want to see it. Why? They're blinded. They're lost. They're following Jewish teachings. They're following the Old Testament. They're not reading their King James Bible rightly divided. That's what's going on. Number seven. This is something that will be manifest. We haven't spent time on this thing. That'll be our works in the judgment seat of Christ. Number eight, the counsels of our heart will be manifested. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says this, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then every man shall have praise of God. You know, we look at this King James Bible. That King James Bible manifests the counsels of our hearts, because when Christ comes, he'll do that physically. He'll be here to do that. We've got his words right now. Why don't people like the King James Bible? Because it manifests the counsels of their heart. It brings out what you really want in life. It brings out what you really are. We're still in this body. We still have the desires. Our mind still wants to do the wrong things. Our mind still wants to have fun. It still wants to go out in this world and do what they're doing. Man, the world is dressed so poorly this year. What the world is doing is so poorly, so crummy this year. It's worse than ever. Every year gets worse. How much longer can we put up with this stuff? I know we got God's grace, but we have God's rebuke, too, that we're supposed to pull through. Anyway, he says in 1 Corinthians 14, the speaking in tongues chapter, but if all prophecy and there come in one that believeth, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. How's that? From preaching. Preaching what? The Word of God. What's the Word of God? King James Bible. Rightly divided, following Paul. And it brings out what's in our heart. Okay. So the counsels of our heart are manifest. And that's not a good thing, really. I mean, it's a good thing for us to get our heart cleansed and all that kind of stuff, but Christ brings out, he helps us see the works of the flesh. He helps us see what our heart really is. Then, three more to go. Probably these will be quick here. But this one, this is a good one. There's only two verses, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. Now grab a hold of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. I see in the past that I've kind of not quite stated this thing correctly in my earlier sermons, which is one of those things you learn, which is frustrating. Verse 19 says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, you look at that verse by itself, and it looks like the word they is referring to heresies. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may... How can a heresy be approved? I never kind of thought that, you know? I used to think that when we have heresies among us to show what's right is right. And I guess that can make sense if you realize that there's heresies being taught in your church or whatever. If you understand your King James Bible rightly divided, you'll hear a heresy being preached in your church. But they which are approved cannot be a heresy. He will not approve a heresy. Right? Go to verse 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. He's talking about the people. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved... How do you get to be approved of God? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. So, when you're around a crowd of people, and there's heresies in there, and there will be heresies among the people. It's too bad. It shouldn't be. I think a church ought to be able to preach 100% right doctrine. We have a Bible. If you rightly divide the thing, if we could keep our mind clear from false teachings and religious teachings and life and fun, all this kind of junk, I believe a pastor ought to be able to be right when he preaches what he preaches. The doctrine part of it should be right. Now, what we do with it and how we live that life, we're not going to be able to do all that stuff. But you ought to be able to trust your pastor to be right when he preaches a King James Bible rightly divided. That means there are people in your church that are approved unto God because they're living a rightly divided life. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that workman, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And among those people, there are going to be heresies. And it says that they which are approved may be manifest among you. So those people, there's going to be somebody in that crowd somewhere that's going to be approved unto God, and they'll be made manifest unto you. Well, I haven't seen anybody. Well, maybe nobody's rightly dividing in your group anymore. Maybe you're someplace where the right division isn't taking place. If the right division is not taking place in somebody's life, they will not be approved of God. Unto God. And they won't be made manifest unto you. So if you're lonesome, it's because there's nobody rightly dividing the word of truth anymore. But if that man or that woman comes along who is, according to this verse right here, they will be made manifest among you. You'll recognize them. They'll recognize you. Does that make sense? So that verse about heresies is not about heresies. There will be heresies among you that they, you know, those that have studied to rightly divide the word of truth, will be made manifest among you. They're out there. Well, hello. We've got painters. We've got patience. We've got Brother Bill. We've got KJV Girl. We've got Tushy Grandma. We've got Sam. We've got Brian and Adriana. We've got the Floyds. We've got all these other guys out there. We've got Lucy. We've got all these different people that still read these things. You know what we have there? We've had people that are studying the Word of God, and they're we're proved unto God. Not that we're walking a perfect life at all, but it says, study to show thyself. We realize what Christ has done for us. We're approved unto God. Not because of our works, but because of what Christ has done for us and to us. And we learn that stuff. We realize that we don't need to be ashamed. How'd you learn this stuff? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what's being manifest, is those of us that realize what this truth is. So you're going to be in a crowd of heresy. Where you go to church today or someplace or someday, you're giving a reunion or something like that, you're going to run a bunch of heresies. If there's anybody in there that's got the truth, that'll be manifest to you. How? I don't know. Maybe conversation, maybe it'll just somehow, it'll just happen. But I don't know about that. That's interesting. To me, that's very interesting. And then the last two real quick, like here, 10 and 11, always bearing about, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 11, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. So the life of Christ should be manifest in our life. The life of Christ. You mean when he was in the Gospels? No. The life of Christ, now that he's risen through Paul's teachings, that's what should be manifest in our life to other people. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So yes, the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, the life of his resurrected life will be manifest through what we do. Our testimony. A modest lady, a quiet lady, a man being the man he should be. That's the risen Savior's teachings. Those are what are supposed to be manifest from us. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Yes, our life should reflect the risen Savior and Paul's teachings. That's what should be manifest to us. We can see those things. Can people see those things? No. But another Paul person could. You'll recognize that kind of stuff. And then lastly, we know that 2 Timothy 3:9, but they shall proceed no further, this modern religion, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We're recognizing more and more the folly of today's religion and false Christianity. The gospel following Christianity. Following the wrong gospel. That's being made manifest today. We're seeing it more and more. How do you see that? From a rightly divided King James Bible. The stuff we see by believing this Bible to be the Word of God is not physical things. It's spiritual things. You understand the spiritual things, you can start seeing the physical things. What's going on here? And our physical testimony is a testimony to the risen Savior, and that's supposed to be what's manifested from us. Because Christ will manifest that through us to somebody else. Yes, your modesty, your loudness, your attitude, your behavior, Titus chapter 3, sound doctrine, all that stuff. That is very important today. Because how else is the truth going to be manifested? They're not going to hear their preaching. You manifest the truth through what you tell people and what you show people. And we've got to stand strong because that's all they have left in this world. And for your grandkids and aunts and nieces and not aunts, but you know, all the different relatives, all this, they need to see something as well as hear it. And that's what that's what's been manifested today. And you just got to pray for people and have mercy and long suffering and patience and tears and the whole thing. But when it comes to a time to reprove and rebuke, it needs to be done. And when it comes time to avoid and step aside, you better avoid, step aside, have no company with, withdraw from, because it's part of our testimony. That's the way it goes this morning. From Kadoka, South Dakota. Badlands and the prairies of western South Dakota.